Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another
episode.
Welcome
back, everyone.
Whoa, okay.
And I just wanted to see what would happen.
You messed it up. It sounded terrible, Mr. Professor Aussie. Now you just got me all, like, flabbergasted now.
Do you want to start over?
No. It's out there now. The fans get to hear it now. It is canon now. The other identity, that's the show that you tuned in to hear. I'm sorry that that Professor Awesome here has made a mockery of our house.
Well, that what happened was you, before we got on the air, you were talking to me about supervillain versions of ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And that got, it got in my head about just being, doing something like really mischievous and just like disruptive to start the show. So I did.
I love how being a villain to you is being mischievous and disruptive.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm a Loki style villain. You know, it's all about, it's all about mischief.
Are
it's all
you,
about,
though?
Yeah, of course. It's all about, it's all about just like fun. You know, Loki's all about fun. He's not the god of evil. He's the god of mischievous fun.
All right. Well, speaking of fun, why don't we start by reading another review left to us by fan listener of the show, Cellphane. 5 stars.
Who are you, by the way?
Who am I?
Yeah. I don't think you introduced yourself in all that craziness.
Look, I'm gonna take a page from our friend Norris Howard's book, host of Checkpoint XP on campus. Yeah. Y'all already know who it is, okay?
All right, fair enough.
So anyway, if you would like to get your review read here on the air, because something we like to do at the beginning of the shows here now, all you gotta do is go and leave one. We're currently at 8, and with 22 more, you will get to help decide what superhero I dress up for. For a day of work.
Yep. Gamora.
That's not a bad one.
That's not a bad one. You do Gamora?
I do Gamora. Yeah, that's
an easy
one.
I'll try harder next time.
So, Cellphane, 5 stars, says, as someone who has always wanted to get into comics but hasn't had the time, this show has been amazing for giving great takes on different stories in each universe and keeping me engaged even though I can't read as much as I would like. It's also a great help in getting me through my work day, providing a much-needed reprieve from the tedium of a 9-to-5 job. Keep up the great work.
That is a really nice one. I really appreciate that because, you know what? That's what we're trying to do here on Other Identity is we don't want to just be the podcast for people who love comics. We want to be the podcast for people who have always been on the fence and want to try to break into this world. So hearing something like that is really, really heartening. And it lets me know that we're doing something important as far as, you know, our role within the comic book ecosphere.
Absolutely. And speaking of the roles within the comic book ecosphere, oh boy, Falcon and Winter Soldier this week.
Wow. So, all right, real quick, just to cut through any suspense, I'm back. I'm back on the show.
You're back in.
Because as you may recall, I did not like last week's episode very much. This week, I am all in, baby. This was a great episode. Great action, unexpected twists, a lot of good Bucky stuff.
Mm-hmm. There's been lots of great Bucky stuff.
Bucky is really shining in this series in a way that I think that it's even making me retroactively appreciate his past performances in the films. Mm-hmm. Not that he was ever bad, but I think I've said before, I was always just like fairly neutral on him.
Well, a lot of the secondary characters did tend to be overshadowed by, you know, the stars of the show. You know, it happens.
Yeah, and I also think if contrasting Winter Soldier and Falcon, I feel like Falcon always kind of held up his end of the bargain because he always had the fun, quippy lines and stuff like that. Bucky had a tough road because he's got to be tortured and he's playing all this stuff and there's no chance to, like, you know, shoot off witty one-liners and stuff like that. But getting this view into him on a deeper level is really making me appreciate the actor, the writing, everything about it.
Yeah. I don't want to just, like, you know, give straight up spoilers about the episode.
Right.
But there were definitely, you know, some things that we've seen coming from a mile away. And some things that I didn't quite see coming.
Like what?
Well, obviously we knew that at some point John Walker was going to get powered up, right?
Right.
I thought that it would be a little bit closer to what happened in the comics. I thought they were sort of on a collision course of, like, Sam and Bucky end up, you know, because they see where the Flag Smashers are coming from. You know, they realize that what they're trying to do comes from a good place.
Sure.
And And early on, you know, we saw that the Power Broker is also after the Flag Smashers. So I thought that maybe we would see Sam and Bucky kind of pseudo teaming up with the Flag Smashers, and then Lamar and Walker, you know, would basically see this as like, all right, you're basically criminals now, but
right, you're the
you know,
bad guys
now. They're all super soldiers. Like we need something in our corner, and they would, and like maybe the Power Broker would reach out to them and be like, we have something that we can offer you. Right. Yeah. And so then they would also sort of team up with the Power Broker in some way.
I also am not like super familiar with John Walker's early days in the comics. I haven't read his early stories.
I actually don't think he was ever a straight up villain. He was put at odds with heroes before.
So here's what I do know about him. He debuted as a character called Super Patriot. Mm-hmm. And basically his whole deal was telling Captain America that you're not getting the job done as Captain America anymore. Then, for a reason, Steve Rogers decided to step down away from the role of Captain America, and the government basically said, hey, Super Patriot, if you think you can do a better job, come do it. So that was how he started out, but he wasn't just a black and white villain at any time.
Yeah, well, and I remember reading that, at least in some incarnation of him, he was actually asked to go and take the shield from Sam Wilson. And even though he disagreed with Sam Wilson's point of views as a new Captain America, he also respected it enough to be like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, that was one of I know the story you're talking about. That's a more recent story, when he was like fully ensconced as U.S. agent, which he may or may not end up being by the end of this series. I don't know, man. I don't know where John Walker goes from here.
Yeah, well, again, we don't want to go too deep into it and spoil anything. If you haven't watched it, definitely go and watch it. And then after you've done that, I'd actually encourage you to go over to checkpointxp.com. I actually dropped an article explaining why, in fact, John Walker is our Captain America. And I would love to know what you guys think of it. But
yeah, I woke up on Saturday morning, you know, ready to give my kid breakfast and whatnot, all the things I usually do. And I had an email waiting for me from my erstwhile partner saying like, hey, I'd really like you to read this piece before I put it up. And I got to say, you really, you knocked it out of the park with this one. I think this is a really impressive. It's a really like deep piece of writing that really says something pretty bold. And I too am anxious to hear what people think about it.
Ooh, that's really good to hear, because I don't often write stuff like this. So still very anxious, still very nervous to hear what people think. But something else that I'm actually a little bit nervous on, despite being really excited, is the Loki trailer, which we're going to talk about here in just a second, as well as a canceled DC property that has been a little sad.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, we know that there's a ton of video game podcasts out there, but I guarantee you, you've never heard one like this one. Checkpoint Daily is one of the only podcasts for esports and gaming coming out every single day.
One of the only ones worth listening to, anyway.
That's absolutely true. So whether we're talking about the latest developments with who Nintendo decides to sue, or the LCS, we've got the lowdown. So make sure you check us out at Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I do want to remind you, if you haven't already, to go and leave a view for The Other Identity, and make sure that you are checking out some of Checkpoint XP's other properties. The nationally syndicated radio show, Checkpoint XP On Demand, as well as Checkpoint XP On Campus.
I have to correct you on branding. We're actually just Checkpoint On Campus.
Oh, my bad. Checkpoint.
We dropped
on
the
campus.
XP. Yeah, no, you can't put us in a box anymore, Landis. We have dropped the XP. We are just Checkpoint On Campus.
Okay, well, good friend Norris Howard over there heading that along with a little bit Ben on the side.
Very little. Very little.
So before we get into the Loki trailer, which, again, I'm really excited about but also a little nervous about, I actually, until you brought this up, I don't think I had any idea that DC was planning a New Gods TV show, let alone that they canceled it.
So, dude, here's the long and short of it. DC, for a while, one of the things they've been developing is a New Gods movie. a full-on feature film that was going to be directed by Ava DuVernay of Selma fame, obviously an incredibly accomplished director, and written by Tom King, whose vision we loved and who also worked quite notably on Mr. Miracle. And they've been developing this for, God, like a year, maybe 2 years now at this point. And it seemed like, look, The Fourth World and New Gods is a tricky, tricky adaptation. That's Darkseid, Orion, this larger-than-life mythology, Mr. Miracle, all these big ideas from Jack Kirby that is very, very hard to translate.
They're kind of like, would they be the equivalent of like the Eternals in Marvel?
I would say that's a very good comparison, and it makes sense because Kirby created the New Gods at DC, then came back to Marvel and created the Eternals. Okay. So there's definitely some overlap there. This isn't a particularly hot take, but I would argue that the New Gods is a little better than Eternals. And I think there's more potential there. Just in Darkseid alone is such an incredible villain.
Oh, so Darkseid is considered one of the New Gods. For some reason, correct. I thought he was one of the old guys because, you know,
nope.
as old as he is.
And he is considered – the whole premise of the New Gods is their story begins when the Old Gods ends. And the New Gods are Darkseid, Highfather, Metron – all these great characters, but it's a tough adaptation. And the fact that someone with the pedigree of Ava DuVernay was working on it, and obviously Tom King, I had a lot of faith in this. I was very excited about it. So quietly last week, DC canceled or put on hiatus, and I guess not really DC, more Warner Brothers. There were two projects that they essentially said, okay, we're no longer working on these. One was a bizarre project, which was a Trench spinoff from the Aquaman movie. It was going to be a full-on horror movie starring the Trench.
I feel like I remember rumors of
this. I'm sure you read about that. They were developing that, and they basically said, we're not doing this anymore. But then they also said, we're no longer pursuing New Gods as a project, which to me, look, I don't know the nuts and bolts, the wheres and the whys, but I think it comes down to a matter of they didn't want to commit resources to this huge project. And obviously, my knee-jerk reaction, without having done a ton of research, is you just gave 4 hours and who knows how many millions of dollars
$70 million
to Zack Snyder to finish his Justice League movie. Do you really not have the time and resources to let Ava DuVernay, an Academy Award-winning director, and Tom King, an amazing writer, and these great characters? Like, do you not have time for this? Like, it boggles my mind the things that are now a priority for DC when it comes to movies,
well,
and it just doesn't make sense.
Not being a big fan of the New Gods, besides
sure,
Dark
and that's
Side.
Why, and honestly, that's why I want to hear your take because I know you have no emotional investment here, so
right.
I want to hear kind of the removed perspective.
I think because this again, this is obviously a Warner Brothers decision here, not necessarily a DC decision.
Absolutely,
and I think this definitely comes down to risk assessment.
Sure.
Obviously, when you put it up next to the Snyder Cut, which really didn't do much better, you still had an incumbent fan base there, regardless of how it turned out. Both fans and naysayers of the Snyder Cut were going to subscribe to HBO Max
right.
to watch it, even just out of morbid curiosity. There
That's
wasn't
a
whole lot of risk there. When
yeah.
you look at what DC has recently done, even with their big marquee names like Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam, like even the best of those movies are still okay. And
yeah.
even the second Wonder Woman kind of underperformed to critics' expectations.
Yeah.
I don't think that DC has the same cultural cash, I guess, as what Marvel does right now.
Sure.
Where they can bring out something as weird and obscure as like Guardians or in this case the New
Eternals.
Gods
or Eternals.
And get away with it. And that's not even saying that what would have happened. I mean, what would have happened could have been the best DC movie ever, and maybe the route they need to go is going with something more obscure so people
well,
go
yeah.
in without any expectations, but it's still a risk. And I don't know that DC's at a point where they can take that risk.
All right, here's just the counter argument that I'll put. I think at some point DC needs to take this big swing because what they've been doing obviously has not been working. And with Marvel, if we're going to do the comparison, I mean, number one, it's easy to go to, yes, Guardians was obviously a big risk, and they did it after they had already produced a few successful movies. Eternals is going to be a risk, but at this point, Marvel can really do no wrong. But mm-hmm. I'll even go one further and say that when they launched the Marvel Cinematic Universe based on Iron Man.
Oh, absolutely.
Iron Man was
B and C tier characters.
Exactly. Iron Man was not an A-list name. So
they had nothing to lose.
They had nothing to lose. But you know what? At some point, I think DC needs to have that attitude of instead of, hey, we're going to make our... I always thought that one of the problems is they came out of the gate trying to make the Justice League movie. Like that's not your first thing you do. And something like New God, I don't know. I feel like there's a space for DC to explore.
You want to know what DC's problem is, and I've said this a million times, and I think the first truly great DC movie, hopefully, is going to be Suicide Squad, because James Gunn has said that they basically let him do whatever he wants.
And that's what they should have done here.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what they should have done here.
To an extent, because I also, depending on what you want to do, if you want to have a cohesive universe, you can't just give every single director full reign.
Right.
But you do need a Kevin Feige. You need someone who knows the source material, who understands the culture of these characters, who can oversee everything. You don't need Warner Brothers, a bunch of guys in suits sitting around, you know, saying yes to this, no to this, this is what we need to do. Like, you need yourself a Kevin Feige who you can just trust to just take off with it. And I have no idea if they'll ever get that.
I guess the last thing I'll say about it is that I think they have wasted too much time trying to replicate the Marvel formula in terms of trying to make the very cohesive universe when they clearly don't have a Feige. They don't have someone at that helm. What they've done well, and what we've seen kind of like good stuff come from, is the movies that are a little bit off to the side where they don't waste a lot of time stressing about how these connect. But you'll see, like, I'll use the Joker movie as an example, or even Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam. These all worked as standalones. They weren't necessarily part of the bigger universe. So I guess I'm saying, if I'm DC, what I'm doing at this point is just trying to make the best movies I can make. If we can retrofit later a way for them all to connect, look, it's comic book movies. There's always going to be a way to use a multiverse or whatever you want to do. Just make good movies and then tie them together later, because if people like the initial offerings, there will be an opportunity.
Maybe. And maybe how DC can or should continue forward is a discussion for another time. I think the one downside in that, and we've seen that they're more than willing to be affected by them, is the fans. Even if DC decides, no, these movies aren't connected, they're just standalone movies, that's not what the fans want after what they've been given by Marvel.
Yeah.
So I think that they're always, you know, going to be behind by at least a little bit there. Also new this past week is we got our first, well, not our first, but our most
first extended.
Recent official Loki trailer that definitely gives us a lot more in-depth look at what to expect here. And while it all looks really great, I mean, Tom Hiddleston as Loki is
one of the best performances in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
A universal treasure.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston, a multiversal treasure.
But here is where I am nervous, even with Marvel's track record, because you're right, even when something comes out that isn't very good, it's still pretty good. And that's time travel. Time travel is
tricky.
It's so easy. It is so easy to screw up a time travel story, and it is very, very hard to make a compelling time travel story. And as we've seen in the trailer, that's essentially what the narrative is going to be. You know, Loki taken, the cosmic cube in Endgame. Time Variance Authority, you know, popped him and was like, you know, you screwed up. You've messed up the timelines. We see a little screen with all sort of diverging, you know, timelines. Like, we need you to help us fix it. And apparently Owen Wilson's character has some crazy theory that only Loki is apparently the one who can fix it.
I hear what you're saying as far as concerns over time travel. I will say that I think Marvel just showed they can do time travel well in Endgame.
Obviously,
you don't think so? You disagree?
No, I thought it was fine. Okay. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great because the story wasn't about the time travel.
And it was just an element.
And they did something. They did something really smart about it. I mean, And even this didn't leave a lot of fans fully satisfied, but they specifically didn't really adhere to any of the normal rules that we normally associate with time travel.
Right.
They basically said, hey, look, as long as you get these stones back, everything will be fine. And they just kind of left it at that, right?
There were no consequences.
Right. If you don't have rules, or if you don't state them, you don't have to worry about following them, right?
Right.
Which I think... You can have an okay story. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing super great about it either. You know, you don't have, like, your 12 monkeys. You don't have your Back to the Future. You know, you don't have those ones that do really cool and interesting things with time travel. And maybe that's all it'll be, right? It'll just be, you know, a fun Loki story. It'll be an average time travel story. But it's just – it's so easy, especially when you have now done time travel in a previous one. You know, you're going to have different writers, different directors. It's just – I'm just nervous. I'm just nervous that they're going to trip up.
I think this is one of the times where you just got to do kind of the in Feige we trust. That he's been – obviously, we've known for a while now that the next steps of what Marvel's doing in the big picture is going to be two things. One, a multiverse. I don't think there's any question that we are getting to a multiverse at some point. Are we building to Secret Wars? I don't know. That's down the line. But I do think we're going to get alternate realities at some point very soon. And then the other thing I think that goes kind of hand in hand with alternate realities is time travel. And I 125%, more than 100%, see your point about time travel is a tricky thing to manage. And if you
look no further than Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah. And if you sidestep incorrectly, like, you are in a lot of trouble. But I do think that because this is Marvel and they are the big picture guys, like, they're not the, hey, we're making this up as we go along. They always seem to have a plan. I am betting in a room somewhere there is a Beautiful Mind style diagram of how this all works. And maybe in Feige's office.
Probably.
And I'm confident that they'll make it work. And I'm confident that if they're going to start it with anyone, I want them to do it with Tom Hiddleston, because he's someone who can capture the nuance needed for something like this. So I'm bullish on it. I see your concerns, and I know that time travel can be a tricky grenade to throw, but I'm confident they're going to use it well.
The last thing that I want to say about the Loki trailer here, and this is my sort of dark horse, you know, Hail Mary prediction. Just based on, like, two quick scenes from this trailer where it looks like he's in a quarry of some sort, I wonder if they are going to reference, or if there is some inspiration being taken from, I believe it is one of the preludes to the most recent Infinity Wars, where Gamora was collecting the stones.
Oh yeah.
Where doesn't Loki end up in, like, some off dimension place where Infinity Stones are mined and inert, but then when they're sent to different universes, that's when they gain their power?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's such a recent story that I'm wondering if they had time to kind of...
Right.
But you know what? They've used recent stories before. Like, they've... Even looking at Thor Love and Thunder, we're going to see Gore the God Butcher, who's a character who has, like, less than a decade of experience. So it's not unprecedented. We might see something along those lines, and I wouldn't be opposed to it.
All right. Well, that's at this point, we can only wait and see Loki coming out in, is it June or July? June. So
we'll be here
right
in June.
Around the corner, guys. Stick around. We have a bit more of the news bag to go through. So stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The esports world continues to grow, and that includes a massive emerging collegiate space. There's going to be one place where you can come and get the latest news for college esports, and that's Checkpoint On Campus, the voice of college esports. So whether it be the latest in college COD or more, make sure you check out Checkpoint On Campus on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, BPod Studios, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. The Other Identity here. It's It's been a bit of a mishmash of news today, talking about the canceled old the canceled new gods. Talking about
the old gods are long
Loki.
Gone. Like, don't even worry about the old gods. The new gods are where it's at.
That's right. And there's been a bunch of other great headlines that, you know, we haven't had a chance to really talk about here. So I wanted to go through a few of them. One of the most important ones, one of the ones that I think I'm most excited about in DC, Black Adam and The Rock took over Times Square the other week with a release date announcement, July 29th, 2022. So a little over a year before we get there, and has actually just started filming this past week as well. This is going to be, I think, a little bit bigger than what we are used to in the DC universe. I'm hoping with The Rock behind it, because he's been attached to this project
for years.
Black Adam, very near and dear to his heart. So I'm hoping that this is sort of going to be his Deadpool in a sense, Ryan Reynolds, nurture and foster that. I'm hoping Black Adam does the same, but it's looking to be pretty big. It's not just a Black Adam movie. They're also going to be introducing the Justice Society of America, which will include Adam Smasher, Hawkman, Cyclone, and Dr. Fate.
Right. I think it's going to be just fantastic. And going back to our discussion from the previous segment, this is more along the lines of what I want them to be doing. Like, this Suicide Squad, just kind of like make the best movie you can make. Like, this doesn't feel like this is spinning out of Shazam. I mean, Shazam might be referenced, or you know, this is the next chapter from the people who brought you Justice League. It just feels like, hey, The Rock is going to make a kick-ass movie about a kick-ass character. He's going to bring in a bunch of other kick-ass characters, and we're going to learn about the world right there. It just seems very targeted, and to me, that's what DC needs to be doing right now.
Well, and you know, I think a lot of people are thinking, just because of its narrative implications, that Flashpoint is the good sort of reset point for DC. But the way that The Rock talks about this movie, like, you know, the status quo is going to be shifting. You know, he's made allusions to, you know, wanting to fight Superman. The Rock is the sort of superstar power that you put a franchise behind, right? I mean, if this does well, you then have, between Adam Smasher, Hawkman, Cyclone, Dr. Fate, and the rest of the JSA, maybe you kind of leave the Justice League, let the Justice League simmer for a while.
Go with JSA instead.
And go with the JSA instead before you start to rope everybody else back in.
It does feel like, I mean, there's a bunch of different components to what make the Marvel stuff work, obviously. There is, first and foremost, at the top of the hill, Kevin Feige. There are directors and writers who are able to play in this sandbox. But another thing is, you got to remember that a lot of early momentum for the Marvel Cinematic Universe came with Robert Downey Jr. just being such a force of charisma. And I think DC has not necessarily had that yet. I think they would have loved to have had it with Ben Affleck. I think the closest thing they have is Gal Gadot, maybe Jason Momoa. But I feel like The Rock could be on a whole other level as far as injecting, or even like talking like Margot Robbie. But I think The Rock could be the next step in terms of, this is the guy that you build your universe around, for sure.
I agree. In other news here, it came out that Wyatt Russell, our U.S. agent, actually auditioned for the role of Captain America back in Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yeah.
He says that he doesn't think that he was ever actually in competition for the role against Chris Evans. But it's just, it's one of those neat stories. It's kind of come full circle, you know?
I feel like every actor of a certain age and kind of demeanor was considered for the role of Captain America.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is something you often hear in interviews with actors who are just saying like, oh, by the way, I also auditioned for Captain America. I think they just cast such a wide net when they were casting that role. And the interesting thing about casting Captain America, I remember this, is that Chris Evans was always kind of, I don't know if it was Feige or his studios, right? He was a front runner, like, from the beginning. They really, really wanted him.
He also didn't he say no?
Exactly.
Like,
that's what I was gonna say. They wanted him, and he said no a number of times, basically based on his experiences from playing the Human Torch and the Fantastic Four movies. He didn't want to go that route again. So it's always interesting to hear who else was considered, because if just for a few like little twists of fate and him sticking to his guns on saying no, we could easily have seen. I know John Krasinski has been talked about a lot as potential Captain America, but there's a lot of guys out there who apparently were, you know, two steps away from becoming Captain America. So it's always interesting to hear.
Yep. Also, speaking of Wyatt Russell, this actually happened after just the second episode of The Falcon and Winter Soldier, where at that point, you know, the worst that that John Walker had did was refer to Bucky as an asset and basically told them to, you know, stay out of his way when they weren't going to work together. Apparently got death threats. Now, really? I don't know if they actually made their way to the desk of Russell himself, but there was at the very least there was a fan run account, official account for Wyatt Russell on Twitter that shut down due to death threats.
Jesus, that is absolutely, look, fans, we love when you get into what you're doing, but there is a point where you gotta remember these are fictional characters. There are real people playing them. They have real lives, real families, real safety concerns, and just. Yeah, I hate to see stuff like that.
Yeah, yep, it's always the worst. Russell Crowe has officially been cast in Thor 4.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about this. I know a lot of people have said they expect him to do something similar to what Matt Damon did in Thor Ragnarok, where it's
probably
just kind of like
play
a funny cameo,
version of
Odin or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man. My gut says it's Russell Crowe. Like, Matt Damon to me screams as someone who's like very up to being like, oh yeah, fun cameo, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. Russell Crowe to me is someone who, I don't know him personally. We have not met, but he strikes me as someone who he's not coming on set unless he's getting something pretty important to do.
Who would you cast Russell Crowe as?
Who would I cast Russell Crowe as? Mm-hmm. He'd be cool. You got to cast him as a god. Like, he needs to be, like, I feel like he needs to play a god. And I would almost put him as, I don't know, if they want to go like the Olympian version, if they want to have him like be Zeus or something, like if they were going to bring that pantheon in. But
you're right, because with Gore, I mean, they're not just going to have the Asgardian pantheon.
Yeah, they
you have to reference other ones.
Oh, so it'd be kind of cool. It could be cool to see him do like that. The only concern I have at this point is, we've already got Thor. We know Valkyrie's in the movie.
It's a big one.
We know Jane is going to be Thor at some point. I believe the Guardians have been confirmed to be in this movie.
Just
Star-Lord. Even so, there's a lot of people who are going to be fighting for screen time. And the idea of bringing in
Marvel has shown they could do it. And Kevin Feige has said that at this point, with Disney Plus being as successful as it is, movies are going to be where the big things happen.
I don't doubt it. And, you know, I have all the faith in the world in Feige and his people. I know that, like, you know, I start to harken back to the days of Spider-Man 3, with Venom and Sandman. I start to harken back to the later X-Men movies where they were trying to spotlight 30 characters. And granted, Marvel has shown they can do it better than that, but it always makes me a little bit nervous when they're trying to bring too many big names in.
Yeah, well, here's my pick. Not for this movie, no. I think you're right. I think that the smart pick is that he's going to be another god of some sort. Might not even have a whole lot of screen time.
Right,
just
a fun cameo.
If he's going to be reoccurring, I would totally get Russell Crowe to play Dario Agger.
That's the go-to. I feel like that's our guy. I feel like for a long time it was he should be either Gore or Dario Agger, and now that we have a Gore, everyone's going to be Dario Agger. And that's not a knock on either of us. I think that's just like that's where our mind tends to go. Mm-hmm. We're ready for Dario Agger to be on the big screen.
All right, and then finally, the Snyder Cut nearly featured.
I said, wait, hey, listen. We said a few weeks ago we were done with the Snyder Cut. We put a very distinct line in the sand. We said, this is the last time you're going to hear about the Snyder Cut. Did we lie to the people?
No.
Okay,
we did not lie to the people. That meant that it's the last time we're having like an episode.
Yeah.
Dedicated to it, because honestly, in the past 2 months, we've had like two or three of them.
I don't buy that we're done with the Snyder Cut by any means.
This is just a little headline, and let me know if you think this would have improved it, because we thought that the Jon Jones stuff was kind of a little weird.
It was
right,
hackneyed.
Apparently, those scenes, or at least the final one, at the end when he meets with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I think his Martha scene would have been the same.
That was supposed to be Jon Stewart and Jon Jones. And apparently what we got, that was a compromise.
So I told you this earlier in the week. I was listening to the How Did This Get Made podcast that Paul Scheer does, and they had read an interview. They were covering the Snyder Cut, and they had read an interview with Snyder or someone close to it who basically said the intention was always for that to be a Green Lantern. At one point, Snyder actually wanted it to be Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan, and that did not go over at all. And so then I think the backup choice was John Stewart. And then at some point they just completely cut it. But from my understanding, when Affleck was shooting the scene, he was shooting the scene as if he was talking to Green Lantern. So that's why it looks a little, it's like kind of a little disjointed, because it really is like a Frankenstein.
I don't think it would have made even much sense if that was Green Lantern. Like you're talking to a space cop and you're just like, yeah, all right, see you next time.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird scene. Yeah. I didn't think that scene added anything to the movie. I thought it was, and I hated that it was at the end, because it's the last thing we leave on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, ugh, this is, I don't know. Anyways, I'm done with the Snyder Cut. I'm done.
I wish we were all done.
We'll never be done with the Snyder Cut, but unfortunately they gave in,
so we won't. But
I'm just waiting for you to tell me we have to watch the freaking black and white version so we can do another episode on it.
We're never watching it. I can promise you this, Ben. We will never have to watch the Snyder Cut of Justice League ever again.
Please make this an audiogram for social this week.
And on top of that, the other thing that is done is this episode. Sorry, guys, that is going to be it for this week's episode. Make sure you tune in next week. Same other identity time, same other identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.